Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we finally get to not really talk about the macro environment, a little bit quieter of a day today there. We do have some news on the Model Y for Europe. Tesla's made some changes in the design studio. Also got updates on the factory, both Berlin and Shanghai, I guess. And of course, if you hadn't heard yet, Tesla is now accepting Doge on some merchandise. We'll talk about some of the implications there and a couple other things as well. As I said, a little bit quieter day in the markets, but a nice little performance for Tesla, finishing up 1.75%. to $1,049.61 to close the week, just a couple of dollars off the day's high. With the markets rising into close, the NASDAQ ended up 0.6%. All right, let's start off here with the Model Y. I think we're all kind of itching for updates as we continue the day-by-day slog towards either Berlin or Texas opening up and learning a little bit more about what those vehicles are going to be. As we wait for that clarity, Tesla has updated the design studio in Europe. For the Model Y, both the long-range and performance versions have had their ranges updated. If we look at the long-range version specifically, depending on the wheel type, the estimate is now 565 kilometers for the 19-inch wheels or 533 kilometers for the 20-inch wheels. As for the performance version, of course, just the 21-inch wheel option there, and the range has been increased to 533 kilometers. So, compared to what was previously listed on the Design Studio, for the long-range Model Y, this is a 5% increase in range to 330 to 350 miles, but WLTP standard. Then for the Model Y Performance, a 7% increase in range, and the kilometers there, 514, that converts over to 319 miles. In addition to the range, there is another change for the Performance version, and this one's pretty interesting. The expected delivery dates have now been updated. Previously, those read early 2022. That's now been updated to a more specific March 2022 estimate for the Performance, but only for the white and black paint colors. Switching over to any other color, that actually moves the estimated delivery date out to May. Now, this is pretty interesting because in the US, it's kind of the opposite situation. If you pick a more expensive paint color, that's been moving up delivery estimates, as it seems Tesla's trying to prioritize higher margin vehicles first. As far as the paint color goes, at least, that's not what we're seeing here. Now, by itself, perhaps not all that interesting, but this does bring to mind that previously, we had heard rumors that Tesla would be starting production at Giga Berlin with the Performance Model Y in white and black. So the differences that we're seeing in estimated delivery date by color here seem to be at least a little bit supportive of that rumor. Now, if that did turn out to be the case, that would definitely make the March estimated delivery date here for the white and the black Performance Model Y very interesting, because then perhaps that suggests that those would be coming from Giga Berlin. A couple of potential counterarguments to that would be that if you do change the interior color, so white versus black, that doesn't do anything to that March estimate. And sometimes we've seen Tesla simplify and just pick one interior color during those ramp-up periods. Obviously, it doesn't have to be that way, and also, even if it were, Tesla doesn't necessarily have to reflect that in the design studio at this point in time. May not be meaningful, but something that I did notice. And then we also can't forget that although we are seeing a spec improvement here for the Model Y Performance, that 7% range increase, which we may take as a hint for a new version from Berlin, we're also seeing a range increase on the long range, and the estimated delivery date that Tesla lists there is February. That would suggest not Giga Berlin production, and if it were, that would then conflict with the part that we just talked about Berlin being rumored to start with Performance Model Y in black and white. So where does that leave us then? Well, I guess in the familiar territory of uncertainty. It may very well be that both of these are just going to still come from Shanghai, and maybe there are a few improvements, maybe a different battery. I think we had heard some rumors about LG source batteries. Perhaps those would be these. Maybe that's just for the long range and the Performance would be still Berlin made. Tough to say, but at least we've got some hope that these could be Berlin made based off of that white and black Performance rumor. It is also probably worth noting that at least for some orders that have already been placed, these changes will apply. Tesla has texted some order holders, letting them know of the range increase on their order without any additional charges. The Model 3 also saw a change in the European Design Studio. This is for the Model 3 long range only. I think the other two have remained the same, but not quite as exciting here for the Model 3 long range. The range estimates have been reduced by 2% for both wheel types, both Aero and Sport, to 626 kilometers and 602 kilometers, respectively. I'd have to guess just a change in batteries here as well. I'm not sure what else would cause that 2% range decrease. All right, so that is the Design Studio. We've also got an update here from Tobias Lind from Drone Flyovers at Giga Berlin. A few really nice shots of what seemed to be a couple of lots full of newly produced Model Y vehicles, and also probably worth pointing out that most of these are Performance Model Ys and black. In one of the photos, there are a handful of these that are under car covers, and some of these are definitely not black, because if we look really closely at the front fascias, we can see that the car covers are pulled up just a little bit over the end of those. You can't see much, and it is kind of hard to tell, and who knows what's going on with the lighting and things like that, but to me, these kind of look like they are a different color than any colors we've seen before. To me, I'm seeing a light blue color, and maybe it's just weird lighting and these are midnight silver metallic. That could be the case, but there is a midnight silver metallic parked in the background, and to me, these definitely look different. They're for sure too light to be the current blue, and I don't think they could be any of the other current colors, so my best guess is that we're probably seeing one of the new colors here from Berlin. Remember that previously we had talked about three new colors showing up in a software update for the app. Those were Deep Crimson, obviously not that, Abyss Blue, and Mercury Silver. So I think this is probably one of those too. I haven't really heard anybody talking about this yet, so definitely let me know what your thoughts are on this in the comments. Lastly then, on Giga Berlin, we do have a rumor from Sawyer Merritt that Elon is apparently going to be in Berlin on January 16th, so Sunday. Maybe we'll see some news come out of that, but apparently this has been planned for quite some time, so I wouldn't take this to mean that some sort of final approval will happen this weekend. Of course, that would be great. I would love to be wrong on that, but that's not how I'm interpreting it. We will see. All right, next up, kind of the big news from last evening. Tesla is now accepting Dogecoin as payment for some of the merchandise in the Tesla store. As we have talked about, this was expected. Elon tweeted back in mid-December that Tesla was going to be doing this, and they'd see how it goes. Kind of like what we saw them do with Bitcoin a while back, but smaller scale here because this is just on merchandise and just select merchandise right now. It's actually just the Cyber Quad for kids, the Cyber Whistle, and the Giga Texas belt buckle. So gives us a pretty good indicator of where Tesla's margins are at on those products. I'd expect 80% plus on all of those, which is kind of interesting because unlike what Tesla did with Bitcoin, where the price was just sort of constantly fluctuating, they've actually fixed the price here in terms of what the price is in Doge. So far, that price has held constant, and Doge has gone up by, I don't know, 10 or 15%. So same price in Doge, but in terms of converting that over into US dollars, these products are all now more expensive in USD than they were last night. That's why I mentioned these being such high margins, because presumably if Doge price went down, Tesla would still keep that fixed cost, and they would end up being cheaper in US dollars than they were last night or even when they launched. But that's not a huge deal because the margins are so high on these specific products that even if Doge were to suddenly fall by 50%, Tesla would still be making pretty good healthy margin anyway. It's interesting though to see them test out this structure because there's sort of a limit to how far you can go with that because of that risk. For example, I think it would be a very, very long time before they'd be comfortable with that structure on a car. They could obviously take Doge there too, just like they did Bitcoin, but I think in that case, they'd want it to be live updating. So some pretty interesting elements here. And if you take that a little bit of a step further, Tesla structuring it this way to a very, very mild extent is sort of asset backing Dogecoin to the intrinsic value of whatever this merchandise that Tesla's accepting Doge for is. Now, I understand this is borderline ridiculous, but I'm just saying conceptually, let's say the intrinsic value of the CyberQuad for kids is $1,000. I don't think that's really what it is, but let's just say, for example's sake, that that's what it is. If Tesla held their pricing in Doge, and then Doge fell enough, let's say 70% or something like that, then theoretically you could buy that CyberQuad for 12,000 Doge, and that would cost about $700. You could then flip that for the intrinsic value of $1,000. That would be an arbitrage opportunity, and people would do that until it went away. And effectively, that would then create a price floor for Dogecoin, because if it went any lower, then the arbitrage opportunity would return. Now, of course, this ignores things that are important like transaction costs and liquidity. A CyberQuad, not the most liquid asset, but dang it, it's Friday, and it's fun to talk about this meme-based, dog-based cryptocurrency being backed up as an asset by this ATV for children. It is ridiculous and there are flaws, but technically that is the situation that we are in right now. Now, I won't go on this, and this is obviously more relevant to Doge, I think, than anything related to Tesla. All this is too small to matter to Tesla, other than from a marketing perspective, but this could be pretty important for Doge. And the last part of this that I want to discuss, I don't think I mentioned yet, but Tesla is only accepting Doge for these items at this point. They're not even taking US dollars. So all of this gets more interesting when we think about Tesla using this as a test for what they may do in the future. They might continue that, expand to have more merchandise only available via Doge, especially when we think about the special limited edition merchandise that Tesla likes to drop from time to time. Only allowing people to buy those things with Doge is definitely something that Elon would do. And again, that's what's happening right now, even though people did have opportunity before to buy in USD. I would not be at all surprised if for the next special edition item, it's only Doge and that's it ever. That would onboard a lot of new people to Doge, to using a wallet, to crypto in general. And I know a lot of this conversation has been pretty stupid, but the implications of that I think are pretty intriguing, and that's my best guess for what Tesla is going to do next time. So we'll drop it there for now, but I don't think that's the last time we're going to be talking about Tesla and Doge. All right, let's get back on track here. We've got an update on Giga Shanghai. Wuwa has done a couple more drone flyover videos. Again, 10-minute blocks, just looking at the exit rate for vehicles, both for Model 3 and Model Y. For the Model Y this time, 18 left the factory in the 10-minute clip. That would be one every 33 seconds, which is actually the highest rate that we would have seen out of any of these videos so far. But I did notice in this clip there were a couple times where two vehicles left at once. So maybe those extra couple of vehicles were just being double-checked for something else and then just filed out with another vehicle. So I think the actual rate was probably more like one every 38 seconds. That actually matches up to a rate that we had seen previously. As for the Model 3, 11 left in 10 minutes, so about every 55 seconds or so there. Again, we've talked about what these numbers might mean for production rates. I don't want to go through all that math again. It takes a while. And with unknown downtime, we can't have that good of confidence in those numbers anyway. This is really just to get us an assessment for peak rates. And Wuwa has now done 7 of these videos. And if we look back across all of them, we're seeing pretty consistently Tesla hitting around that 40 second per model rate. Even with factoring in downtime, I think that suggests more production potential upside than what we have seen so far, even in December. All right, last couple of things here. First, just wanted to kind of expand on the thoughts on a possible Cybertruck delay yesterday. I think I shared this in one of the comment conversations I was having, but I think we're sharing with everybody. Yes, from a customer and also from an investor perspective, we all are very excited about the Cybertruck and when it's going to happen finally. But we've got to remember that it will come when Tesla is ready for it. Right now, Tesla's priority, as it should be, is on the Model Y. The Model Y has the potential to become the best-selling vehicle in the entire world over the next 12 months. That is justifiably where Tesla's focus is. As Elon said last year, as he has said at many times, it doesn't matter if Tesla has 17 different products. They can't produce all of those because they just don't have the supply for it. So would you rather Tesla focus all their energy and attention on making this one vehicle as efficiently as possible? Or act like legacy automakers and announce all these different versions of EVs, diluting their focus, diluting their operating margins? It's probably an inferior strategy. There will be a time, and that time will come, for Tesla to diversify their model lineup, and the Cybertruck will then be added. We're just not quite there yet. But that is not slowing down Tesla's growth, and that's what's most important. If growth were stalling out and the Cybertruck was then being delayed, and that was the next leg of growth, yes, that would be bad, bad news. Very clearly, that is not the situation that we are in. That affords Tesla the opportunity to take their time, to get it right, and hopefully then ramp it up quickly when it is time to go. So those are my thoughts as we do head into the weekend. Also, got to keep an eye out for FSD Beta 10.9. We haven't heard a ton about it, but Elon said that it could be coming around this time. And as I said yesterday, reminder that the market is closed on Monday for the observation of Martin Luther King Jr. Day. So I hope everyone that is also getting that day off has a great long weekend. I think I'll probably still do an episode on Monday, but we'll just see what's going on with the news. But that'll wrap it up for today and for the week. So as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you on Monday or Tuesday for the 17th or 18th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.